This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Rockets right their wrongs against the Minnesota Timberwolves, coming away with a 129-107 victory. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your very next order. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Now, joining us today is one part of the Step Back Sisterhood podcast and team member at Apollo HOU, Britt Wilbert. How's it going, Britt?
I'm good. How are you tonight, Jackson?
I am excited that we get to talk about another Rockets win, seeing as how they are quite few and far between these days, huh?
Yeah, it certainly feels like it.
Well, you know, and I guess it's tough to, like, first off, you and I haven't done a podcast in a long time, right?
Yeah, I think over a year, and maybe closer to 2 years, with all the stuff going on with the world situation. I feel like time is just abstract at this point.
Oh yeah, it's completely either frozen or it doesn't exist or time is an illusion. Take your pick. But so I have to apologize to you, Britt, for us not having a chance to have sat down on a podcast, because you're one of my favorite people to be able to podcast with and to interact with in the Rockets community. So with that, it's a good thing that we get something, you know, kind of positive to talk about in this Rockets win. But to kind of put it in a frame of reference, the Rockets did have that really abysmal collapse the night before. So Friday night, they collapse terribly. They go scoreless the final 7.5 minutes against the T-Wolves, and they lose that game in really spectacular fashion. So it meant a lot for them to be able to come out of the gate and come out strong against the Timberwolves in this game, jumping out to an early 41-29 advantage after the first quarter. And to me, there were a couple standouts that I had, you know. Kevin Porter Jr. looked really aggressive in this game. Kelly Olynyk was amazing. So I'll let you kind of steer. Who do you want to talk about first from this game?
I actually first want to talk about Olynyk. I mean, I think as everyone's aware, for positive or negative, Olynyk, as well as Bradley coming over to the Rockets in exchange for Oladipo coming to Miami, that got a lot of detractors. And of course, one game is not going to make something feel better. But Olynyk really reminded me that he actually could pass well. And it was also nice to see that he shot, you know, incredibly well. 66% from 3-point, which is pretty nice considering that the Rockets have had their woes at three the entire season.
Yeah, he actually came out and I saw there's that graphic that was floating around on Twitter, which whoever made that graphic should be ashamed of themselves, with like it was Kelly Olynyk in a Celtics jersey with like the ghost of like Larry Bird also rocking his Celtics jersey like alongside him. And I saw that and absolutely busted out laughing when that popped up on my timeline. But I mean, he was shooting like a man possessed. It was incredible. So, and I do have I have a word of caution, actually, from the host of Locked On Heat. So David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, fellow Locked On podcaster, he sent me this message and he goes, I'm not sure if you've recapped yesterday's game, but friendly advice is to caution your listeners that Kelly Olynyk experience is a roller coaster of solid performances followed by him becoming non-existent for long stretches of games. I'm sorry. So I love that, like, Kelly Olynyk came with, like, this disclaimer, like, please don't buy into Kelly Olynyk being a contributor on a nightly basis. So I guess we can't expect, you know, 60%+ three-point shooting and the great passing and the solid defense on a nightly basis. But at least we got it in his opening game, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, and I think the that I guess warning or caution was probably pretty nice to say, because I was looking at his stats for the season before he, you know, his first start with the Rockets, and he only had shooting above 60% 5 times in 43 appearances. I definitely don't think that he'll, you know, do that, but even like 50% or 40%, he only shot that 8 times in 43, or combined with the above 60%, he only shot that 8 times the entire season, if I'm counting correct, which could be wrong. But that, yeah, I think he's going to be one of the streaky shooters that the Rockets always seem to acquire, I guess is the nice way of saying it.
You know what, Britt? And it's totally okay if you're doing math wrong, because if you're doing math wrong on this podcast, then you're going to fit in with me just fine. So, but I guess, you know, so Kelly Olynyk, nice surprise there. I really thought that this was going to be an ugly game without Christian Wood, and kind of, you know, obviously we have a very, very large 17-game sample size to point to when we think of games without Christian Wood and just how bad the Rockets tend to look without him on the floor. So I guess one area that I'm very interested in, they mentioned this multiple times on the broadcast, both Craig and Matt, talking about the idea of potentially when Christian Wood returns to the lineup, the idea of running and playing Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood alongside each other. And I'm very intrigued by that possibility, because you look at guys that are built like them. They're both 6'10". They both move really well. They're kind of, you know, they're not big, slow-footed, you know, centers. They're kind of essentially fours that are playing the five spot. And so I don't see a reason why they wouldn't be able to play alongside each other, especially when you still get the five out spacing from Kelly Olynyk. So I wonder if that's going to be something that Silas kind of tinkers with down the line.
I mean, I think so. I mean, if you look at the Luka and KB or KP situation in Dallas the previous season, they, you know, that's what they did all the time. Of course, I'm not even suggesting, before anyone tries to contact me, that Olynyk and Wood are even close to, you know, those two, although, you know, KP's barely on the court these days, to be, you know, not nice about it. But I think that having two, you know, relatively big men, especially since the Rockets tend to run small otherwise, who can actually, you know, pass and make and do playmaking, would be, you know, generally a nice thing to see compared to some of the stuff that we have earlier this season.
And you're right to highlight the passing from Kelly Olynyk, because he had a couple really clean passes in this game. And I guess that was an element of his game that I wasn't super aware of coming into this one. And, you know, at the end of the day, unfortunately for the Rockets, is it feels weird talking about, you know, how these pieces could mesh and how they could translate to wins, because, you know, we're kind of in this position where, you know, hashtag fade for Cade, we'd like to probably see the team continue to struggle, unfortunately. But they're gonna need to win some games here and there. It's not going to be the end of the world if they win some games here or there. And they need to do it, because they need to keep the morale of the team high. You can't just expect them to lose out the remainder of the season. And, you know, if Kelly Olynyk winds up being a catalyst for some of these wins, it's not going to upset me, unless they fall out of the bottom three in the league, which is definitely a possibility at this point, based on the fact that the Orlando Magic just, you know, sold off, you know, everything on the farm and are probably going to be tanking pretty heavily for the remainder of this season.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's maybe the unfortunate thing, but I think the one thing that folks should realize is that going into, I mean, if we want to rebuild, we don't necessarily go into like a losing culture. I mean, you can look at the Kings, you can look at well, more recently, Cleveland, post LeBron leaving, and other teams like that who have continuously just, you know, brought in young players and just young players themselves, and not trying to get, you know, a winning culture. We want to maintain that while, you know, tanking or whatever you want to call this.
Yeah. Now, I guess I want to. I don't want to spend the entire podcast talking about Kelly Olynyk, although it feels like we probably could based on how well he played. No, I definitely want to touch base on kind of the aggressiveness of Kevin Porter Jr. in this game, how great he looked throughout this one, as well as kind of the John Wall redemption story from being, you know, the guy who almost single-handedly cost them the game Friday night, and then him taking that back seat and you know, being the floor general that we really need him to be for this team. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing, and we've got MLB just around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the absolute best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. So head over to the website and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news that you need in just under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Britt, let's talk, and I'll give you, I want to let you steer the bus here for a moment, or steer the podcast, whatever. The podcast bus? I don't know. Anyways, do you want to talk John Wall first, or do you want to talk Kevin Porter Jr. first? Because we're doing both of those in this segment, but it's your decision where you want to go first.
I think I want to talk positive, so let's talk about Kevin Porter Jr. first, because, I mean, I think Wall had a good game, but there's some things I have to sort of air out. But
sure
let's
thing.
Go
okay.
Kevin Porter.
Yep. All right. So KPJ it is, baby Harden time. And I guess that's the proper spot to point to is, so he has had a pretty stellar, like, 7-game stint with the Rockets, minus the game where he got injured and played about 10 minutes. He's averaging 18.1 points per game, 6.7 assists per game, 3.3 rebounds per game, 1.3 steals per game, shooting 46.3% from the field, 50 out of 108 attempts, so 50 out of 108, and then he's shooting about just under 26% from behind the three-point line. So out of everything, you know, out of just everything that we've seen from him so far, his three-point shooting has definitely struggled a little bit. His defense leaves a little bit to be desired, but everything else has been pretty incredible. And in this game specifically, it almost looked like he was, you know, focused on passing up some of those, like, open threes or just actively working towards getting to the rim more so in this game. And I really think that might have been, like, a, you know, an actual, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm drawing a blank here.
What, improvement?
No, I don't want to say improvement, because he's shown the ability to finish before, but I think he's just been a little bit too willing to take those, like, three-pointers, those contested threes, those step-backs, and it felt like he was focused more so on getting to the rim in this one, and that's why he looked so impressive throughout this game, and then that kind of unlocked his three-point shooting as this game progressed, is kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense, and I think improvement implies that he hasn't been doing well before, which is completely untrue. When it comes to Porter Jr., I think the one thing that really impressed me was the first few possessions of the game. You know, the Rockets were actually, going back and forth and having a little bit of a shooting match with the T-Wolves. I don't know if you noticed that. I think it was, like, the first 6 or 7 possessions, like, they all were makes. And that was, you know, unusual, considering that a lot of times the Rockets tend to have, you know, streaky issues. But when it came to Porter, he those first few plays, he, you know, distributed the ball well. He was going to the, you know, the rim, like you were mentioning, and he just looked as though he was commanding the ball a lot more as a point guard versus, you know, just trying to take the easy shot. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. I feel like Porter's development has just been, you know, skyrocketing over the last several games. And I guess it's really nice to see that in between all of the, you know, positive things that a lot of the younger players are contributing so far.
And I think this game too kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, and I guess this kind of helps us kind of segue into the John Wall gambit here. But I did have my reservations about the idea of a starting backcourt of John Wall and Kevin Porter Jr., if only because I was worried that Kevin Porter Jr. wouldn't get the adequate, you know, reps as the primary facilitator, as the dominant ball handler in the lineup. But definitely to start this game and throughout this game, both in stretches with John Wall on the court and with John Wall on the bench, Kevin Porter Jr. got plenty of reps in this game as the primary, the focal point in the Rockets offense, kind of steering the ship on the court. And, you know, I was worried that he would be relegated to some kind of off-ball role, and he did have some possessions where he played off-ball. I think his, if memory serves, his very first three-pointer, I think, was coming off of a kind of a pin-down screen where John Wall was the one who orchestrated it. So John Wall was kind of calling, you know, channeling traffic around the court and got Kevin Porter Jr. curling off of a pin-down screen and then got him up at the top of the key and passed him the ball for a wide-open three-pointer. That might have been his second three of the game, but I know that that was a play. I don't know if it was the first or the second three of the game for KPJ, but I guess that him playing alongside Wall isn't the worst thing in the world as long as John Wall plays the role that we need him desperately to play, which is floor general, playmaker, facilitator, not the hero ball stuff that we saw that cost them the game Friday night. And I guess that's a good spot. Britt, I know that you wanted to air some grievances about John Wall, so have at it.
Yeah, so when it comes to John Wall, it feels as though he is just as streaky as some of the young players, which I don't really understand, considering that he has been in the league for, you know, quite a while, minus the years that he has been injured. I'm not going to talk so much about the first half of the home series that the Rockets had versus the Timberwolves. I think everyone knows that him and Christian Wood combined for 0-for-11 in that stretch. The seven minute mark where the Rockets stopped scoring for whatever reason, which led to the T-Wolves coming back. But for the most part, I was really excited to see how John Wall played in the second half of that home series versus the T-Wolves. He was distributing well. There was a part of the game, it was around 8:39 in the third quarter, where he had a inbound pass to Tate, and Tate did like one of those spin moves, which has been really fun to watch. He has been, you know, distributing a lot more, and he did that most of the game, but there's some possessions that just make me so frustrated. The one that made me extremely frustrated and reminded me of the previous game was the in the second quarter at 5 minutes. It was like 15 seconds on the clock, and then he made like he attempted a random mid-range shot that just like the offense wasn't set. He just like took it randomly, and that gave me shades of Russell Westbrook. And I guess that's coincidentally what, you know, they were traded for each other, but stuff like that is just like, I know he can do better. Like, he is relatively high IQ when it comes to being a floor general, but when he does just like random things like that, it's just like, please don't do that. It's really frustrating to me.
Russell Westbrook incarnate in John Wall. Now we're getting spicy, Britt. Oh, I love it. No, I mean, that's a fiery take. We're going to get the Russ stands all up in our mentions. I love it. No, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you. You know, I really feel like at the end of the day, you know, players, you know, tend to have their like kind of their safety net shots sort of, or their kind of like the shots that they take just in rhythm. And it does feel like John Wall's, you know, quote unquote rhythm shot is that, you know, kind of lullaby dribble or kind of stutter step dribble into that, like, you know, 18 to 20 foot jump shot right there at the top of the key sort of. And I really wish that he would stop taking those because it does feel very Russell Westbrook-esque when he opts for those, especially like you said, early in the shot clock when there's, you know, not been much else going on with the offense. I don't want to be too overly critical of him though, because again, he did have, you know, maybe there was a heart-to-heart between he and Steven Silas, or maybe he just did some, you know, internal reflection and realized that, you know, he was one of the reasons that, you know, the Rockets lost that game Friday night, because he comes back and he still had a largely inefficient night, only 5 of 14 shooting, just 2 of 6 from behind the arc, only scored 13 points, but he wasn't, it really never felt like he was forcing the issue to the detriment of the team in this game. There were definitely a couple questionable shots here and there, but, you know, that's, he's the veteran. He believes himself to be the leader of the team still. But he definitely went out of his way in this one to maybe not over facilitate, but just play much more within the confines of the offense and not, overexert himself trying to quote unquote be the guy.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that did help is that, you know, the game, Augustine was actually out, you know, in appropriate moments. And I think that sort of lessened the, you know, sort of stress or load that John Wall had during the game, which I think was pretty much appreciated, at least in my view.
I want to talk about DJ Augustine here in a moment. I got a couple other points from this game that I want to highlight. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a little while now, and there's a reason for that, right? Built Bar is the amazing low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great-tasting protein bar. It's basically like eating a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. But now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. It is Built Bar Madness. And today's matchup, we're back to my personal favorite. We've got to do whatever voting you need to do to get this guy to the final four round. But today's matchup is caramel brownie against my favorite coconut brownie chunk. So you already know exactly where I'm going with this matchup. Got to go coconut brownie chunk all the way. As soon as they introduced this flavor, I was head over heels in love with it. So go vote. You can go vote at the website at builtbar.com, or you can go to @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. And when you're at the website, remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And be sure to check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Coconut brownie chunk is going to be the best tasting protein bar. Quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Look, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's basically impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. But at rockauto.com, they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the exact same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you want to spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? The catalog is super unique, easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is a really important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the Rockets 129-107 dominant win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And there's a guy who absolutely deserves some recognition and some credit, who's been, you know, a standout since donning a Rockets jersey. However upset many Rockets fans were at the initial number 14 emblazoned across his chest for DJ Augustine, because that was a bit controversial at first when we saw DJ Augustine walk out onto the court for the first time as a Houston Rocket, and people saw the jersey number 14 and felt some kind of way because that wasn't Gerald Green rocking 14. But Britt, Augustine's been pretty incredible so far as a Rocket. He's, you know, one, he's back in his hometown. He's honestly, he has given this team a much needed veteran presence kind of in that second unit. But more so, he gives them that secondary floor general, that secondary playmaker, true point guard facilitator. And there were definitely stretches in this game specifically where, like, they had, I think, the lineup that was out there for a stretch in this game that felt so wacky, but it was actually getting the job done, was DJ Augustine, Ben McLemore, KJ Martin Jr., DJ Wilson, and I think who else was out there? There was one more rookie out there with them, or like young player. Ja'Shawn Tate, maybe? It was either
I think it was like a mixture of Tate as well as who else was out there. You mentioned Wilson, right? DJ Wilson.
Yeah, DJ Wilson was. I know the four was definitely Augustine, McLemore, Wilson, and KJ Martin Jr. I just can't remember who the fifth was, whether it was Tate or possibly Brown or if it was KPJ for a stretch. I actually think it was KPJ. I think that's why I was shocked, because it was basically, you know, not quite three rookies, but like three of the younger players out there. And the lineup was actually like still putting in work. And a large part of that was because having that veteran, that calming presence of DJ Augustine out there alongside those younger players who might be a little bit frantic at times and, you know, maybe a little excitable. It really felt like his presence was so useful in this game. And I think that, you know, if you're looking back at the collapse of the first game against the Timberwolves, is there was that kind of question in the back of everybody's head, and just, you know, maybe if they'd put DJ Augustine back in for the tail end of that game, or, you know, to, you know, extended his minutes a bit in that game. He played really well in that one. I believe he finished 13 points, 4 assists, couple rebounds on 4 or 5 shooting. He was having a great game in the first night against the Timberwolves. And then he finished with a season high 20 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds on 8 of 14 shooting in this game. So he's been having a whirl of a time as a Houston Rocket.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I guess I don't want to necessarily, you know, go back to that 20 game losing streak, but it would have been nice if he was available for more games than what he was available for during that that losing streak. And I think the reason why is exactly what you were saying, is that he allows for John Wall not to have to be on the court all the time, for positive and negative, because when John Wall is acting as floor general and not just shooting up random shots, then he's extremely valuable. But when you only have one, you know, true point guard on the court all the time, and or at, you know, during the game or each one of the games, it was just, you know, at some point you don't have enough scoring opportunities, or at least good scoring opportunities for your team in order to win. So since Augustine came, to the Rockets in that PJ Tucker trade, it's just been really nice to have a secondary veteran contributor who can help, you know, one, you know, alleviate some of the pressure that John Wall has, and then two, also assist in the development of Kevin Porter Jr., because I feel like a lot of the, you know, sort of improvements or whatever you want to mention that KPJ is having over the last few games has been due to seeing like another point guard besides John Wall, you know, showing how he can, you know, sort of command the floor in a positive manner.
I sympathize with where John Wall's at, though, because, you know, especially in the absence of Christian Wood during, you know, the 17 game stretch of the losing streak, is, you know, he's tasked with being not only the primary facilitator, but also thinking he has to increase his scoring load to compensate for Christian Wood being out. And so there's a lot that goes in on that. And I think, you know, for Wall too, it's always tough. You know, I try to refrain from trying to pretend to know what's going on in these guys' heads, but you've got to imagine that with Wall, you know, somebody who was the guy, the go-to guy, the face of a franchise for the better part of a decade, that he wants to be back at that level, and his body, his, you know, where he's at, you know, his current age, all that, he might not ever get back to that level. He's still a very good quality player. But I think that's just, you know, that's something some level of growth that he has to do on his behalf to get back to a place where he understands, hey, this is where I'm at now. This is, you know, what I'm capable of, and I need to not overexert myself or try to do too much, and let me just focus on what I'm good at. Because again, in this game, he felt like he was playing much, you know, much more within the confines of the game. He wasn't forcing things. Finished with 13 points and 12 assists. Only had one turnover. So, I mean, that's a ridiculous assist to turnover ratio in this one. And it really felt like it was because he wasn't forcing the issue. He was focused on feeding the rest of his teammates. He was, feeding Olynyk, feeding Sterling Brown, both of whom finished with 16 points. Kevin Porter Jr., who we spoke about earlier, who had a really phenomenal game before having to unfortunately exit a little bit early in this one, said that he got turf toe, that somebody kind of stepped on his toe and caused him to limp off the court a little gingerly, but it everybody was concerned it was a recurring quad issue for him, but he confirmed post game to Kaylee Griffin that it was not a quad issue, that it was just his toe. So he should be okay moving forward. But he walked away with 25 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. So he was much more in a scorer's mold in this game rather than facilitating. And I think that was kind of a nice change of pace for Kevin Porter Jr. rather than having to be the primary creator for the offense. He was creating for himself because he was being aggressive, and he had Wall and others, Augustine, some of the passes from the bigs. He had other guys helping create for him as well.
Yeah. And I guess, before we end the show, I want to be nice when it comes to John Wall. Like, I do have, some criticisms when it comes to his game, but I think the one thing we can say is that he has been completely willing to at least improve from game to game. Like, he's not necessarily doing the same thing every single time, and during this entire season, I think the frustrating bit is that we all wish it could be better than what it should, and a lot of that is because of injuries to almost every single player on the team, and I think John Wall, regardless of that, has been a super motivating and positive force on the team, and as long as he can sort of minimize the the plays like I mentioned in the previous segment where he just takes a mid-range shot that he doesn't really have in his bag anymore, he will allow for all the young players to develop. And that's what I'm excited about with when it comes to Augustine and Olynyk and all of the other veterans, is that they'll be able to show a lot of things that the young players aren't necessarily thinking about, and that allow for the team to grow.
Absolutely. And that's the delicate balance when you're looking at a team that is currently in the midst of a very rapid rebuild like the Houston Rockets. It's about getting those young guys the proper reps, but also letting, the veterans on the team realize, hey, like, they need to, establish the right culture, and specifically, teach these younger guys, hey, these are the right ways to do things. This is the right way to handle these types of situations. And, ultimately winning some games along the line is going to be important for this young group of guys. Just seeing how happy some of these past couple wins, ending the streak against the Raptors and now coming away with this win against the Timberwolves. Like, it's just important for them to be able to rack up a couple wins here and there. And it's not going to break the bank. It's not going to be the end of the world when it comes to the bottom three record pursuit. Because at the end of the day, you need to consider the human element of these players and how that impacts them and their ability to grow and be cohesive with each other, all that good stuff. Now, there's a couple other things from this game, just a couple other points here and there. And one of those is shout out Jae'Sean Tate, who continually has these very Draymond Green-esque stat lines. And, I remember looking at halftime and he had filled up a couple points in every single statistical category at halftime, and I'm like, this guy is Draymond-esque, the way that he plays the game, how he can do everything on both sides of the court at a really elite level, minus shooting the ball, which he's already shown that he's made strides in that department as well. But he finished the game 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, had a steal, had 3 blocks, 5 of 10 shooting. Just a great all-around game from Jae'Sean Tate. And then KJ Martin Jr., who continues to impress with his play off the bench, had 8 points, 6 rebounds, had an assist, hit his only 3-point shot that he attempted. His shot has looked a lot better. And he had that one putback dunk attempt, which was just so vicious, the way that he dunks. Like, I don't know about you, Britt. I absolutely love watching KJ Martin get a block on the defensive end or dunk the ball offensively. It's always so exhilarating to see him, you know, come away with a highlight reel play.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't get the random technical fouls for being too aggressive on the dunks, which is more on the refereeing side than anything else. I absolutely love his play. Like, he's so energetic and athletic. It's just really nice to see him develop and grow.
And then one other thing, right, is he got a block on Naz Reid in this game. So we got to add Naz Reid to that list of, like, all the bigs that KJ Martin Jr. just continues to block. He's got, like, a hit list now of just every single game he comes in and he plans to block at least one guy. And I will say, I didn't get to highlight this one. Even though they wound up losing that game, he had a vicious block on Anthony Edwards and completely, in my opinion, erased any chance Anthony Edwards had at the Rookie of the Year campaign because that block was just, it was insane. The two-handed block early in the game in the Friday night matchup against the Timberwolves, just unreal stuff from KJ Martin Jr. And then my last point before we wrap this thing up, I don't know, Britt, did you happen to see Malik Beasley's post-game commentary about the Rockets?
Yeah, about, you know, essentially that the, you know, it was embarrassing to lose to the Rockets, even though the Rockets still have a better record than the Timberwolves.
I have the exact quote here. So Malik Beasley goes on to say post-game, he says, "I feel embarrassed. No offense to the Rockets, but they had gone on a 20-game losing streak before this. To be the team when they're joking around and beating us by 30, we got to hold each other accountable. It can't happen like that." And so somebody highlighted this to me, and because it didn't even stumble across my timeline. Like, somebody added me, and I saw it. And my immediate reaction to Malik Beasley was to say, no offense to Malik Beasley, but the Rockets lost 20 straight games and still had a better record than the Timberwolves. So, like, what exactly does that mean if you're the Timberwolves? And I just, you know, when I see things like that and I'm like, you know, sometimes players have to do whatever they need to do to motivate themselves, to, you know, light that fire into themselves. But I was like, nah, Malik Beasley, this ain't it, man. You gotta figure yourself out.
Yeah. And I think that the 20 game losing streak is just going to be a narrative for whoever, you know, the Rockets win against the rest of the season, because I don't think they're going to have another 20 game losing streak again, but it is still be used for trolling and other things. So I'm just prepared for that. And Malik Beasley can continue to be on that 11-35, you know, Timberwolves team.
And you know what? The 20 game losing streak is going to live in infamy right next to the 0-27 and, you know, all that good stuff, unfortunately. But we're past it. We have moved on. There are, you know, brighter days ahead. Britt, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the show. Why don't you go ahead and let the listeners know where to track you down at?
Great. So I am on Twitter at Britt Robotista. That's BRITROBOTISTA. I am a contributor, co-host, however you want to call it, at Step Back Sisterhood. That's at Step Back Sisters on Twitter. And then I am also a contributor at Apollo Media and, you know, the various podcasts over there. So listen to me on the Launchpad podcast. I'm on there at least once a month. And that's it. I think I covered all the things that I need to.
All the different mediums that you host on. Britt, again, really, really enjoy being able to sit down, talk hoops with you whenever we get the chance. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
All right. For today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.